Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is now 9:08 here at WCCO. Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And oh my goodness, Center Stage is sponsored by Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, and we are so excited that they are celebrating a really big anniversary coming up, and we hope to get our guest on tonight. We have not heard from them just yet, but stay tuned, okay? Stay tuned. We hope to talk about the big gala that is coming up. I want to tell you about some of the shows that are happening. Newsies is running at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters through September 29th at the Chanhassen. I still have not been yet, and I promised you I am going to go. I am going to go after I get past the show that I'm doing on August 27th. August 27th, I will be at the Dakota. Me, I have not done a concert by myself in so many years, so I'm very excited about this. That's right, Geraldine Steele's Journey Through Life, and I get to talk about WCCO Radio and the 20 years that I've been on radio. I get to tell some of the stories about the earlier days and where we are today and how it's changed my life. I also get to talk about being in Minnesota for 40 years, being married for 20 years, then getting divorced for 18. Whoa, there's a lot to tell. And I'm so excited about sharing some of that with you. So if you get a chance, go to DakotaCooks.com for more information. Also, Harvey is Thursday through Sunday at the Lakeville Theater for the Arts. Legally Blonde is weekends through August 19th, which is coming up at Bloomington Center for the Arts. West Side Story is running through August 26th at the Guthrie, and we're going to talk about Leonard Bernstein as well in the 9:30 hour. Beehive is running through October 21st at the Old Log Theater. There are so many shows and so many concerts. We're going to take a break for just a moment and talk to Tamara Kangas Erickson. She's joining us right now. Hey! Yes! Awesome! That's right. It's the 50th anniversary gala tomorrow night for Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. It's been an amazing year for them, and they are capping it off with this special 50th gala. And, of course, Tamara Kangas Erickson, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is the co-producer of the gala, also the choreographer and one of the owners and managing partners of Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. How are you, Tamara?
I'm great, Geraldine. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You know, 50 years. Y'all look good over there for 50 years old.
I'm telling you, we're looking pretty good and we're feeling really great.
Okay, so tell us about this really special night tomorrow night.
You know, it's just going to be wonderful. We had rehearsal on Friday, brought everyone in who was going to be a part of it. We're using many of the cast of Newsies plus special guests from our past, from our whole history. There's going to be a lot of surprise performances, special guests talking about the history of the theater, talking about how we got to where we are now. There's a lot of entertainment, some great humor, and I think there's going to be a lot of tears and joy.
I can't imagine. Is it open to the public?
It is open to the public. There are still tickets available, and it is a fundraiser. Chanhassen Dinner Theaters has a relationship with UMD and their theater program.
Mm-hmm.
So we developed a scholarship for them a number of years ago, and this will be a fundraiser to assist in making that scholarship vested for the future.
That's awesome, by the way. Absolutely awesome. As a managing partner, when you look back on the history of Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, do you see that the shows really correspond with where we are in the nation? Or do you see more of the nation, what is happening in current events during that time, that would affect what you would bring into the theater?
You know, Geraldine, I think we're a little bit unique in that we do try and appeal to a very wide audience. So, yes, we have been changing our titles over the years and trying to keep with some of the newer and more contemporary titles, but we still love to throw in those classic Rodgers and Hammerstein, classic Lerner and Lowe, as we can, just to keep everybody happy. So I kind of feel like we try and maintain a balance.
Yeah, there are so many changes with theaters right now, you know, the change of guard and that sort of thing. You're noticing it all over the Twin Cities metro area. And with those changes come a whole new idea for how theater should look today. How do you see theater looking today?
Well, I mean, I think that we have always had an eye for diversity at our theater. And I think that that is just becoming more of a universal theme among theaters. You know, we have to cast very specifically. We're a musical theater. We have big dance, big music, big choreography, big story, big acting. So we're always looking for the absolute best cast that we can possibly find. But I think we're very mindful of, as we grow our audience and as our audience changes, we want what is on stage to reflect what our audiences are. Mm-hmm. And I think that that means diversity. It means just opening it up to new ways of looking at older classical plays.
So is that also the recipe for what we can expect from Chanhassen Dinner Theaters in the next 10 years?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, in the last few years, we have really tried to, like I said, do some newer titles that might have been considered very edgy for us in the past. I mean, I think Sister Act might have been one of those titles. But, you know, our audiences loved it, and it was so popular that we brought it back again just 1 year later and revived it because it was that popular with our audiences. So, I mean, I think that really says as much for us as a management team as it does for the audiences that are coming and how those people are just changing and growing.
I would love to know if 50 years ago Chanhassen had the ability to, you know, bring back something so quickly. You know, it did really well 1 year and then to turn it around and bring it back the next year. Or was it that, you know, they really stuck with the staples back then because it was the staples that sold tickets?
Yeah, I think they did really stick with the staples. You know, Michael and I, we like to try things. So, you know, we kind of say, hey, this is something we should try, and we think we might have a good shot at it being successful. And, you know, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, but we like to just kind of roll the dice and give things a whirl.
Right. Now, you have several spaces there that great entertainment is going on. How long has that been a part of Chanhassen?
Well, you know, before we took over the company, which was 8 years ago, we had three and sometimes four theaters running plays and musicals almost year-round.
Wow.
So when we took over, we really decided that it was important to change that model and to keep our focus on theater in the main, which was, you know, really the most important element of our business, mm-hmm. and to try and think of some other ways we could use the other spaces, bring in other audience, not just musical theater audience, but, you know, we started a comedy club in the Playhouse Theater. We started a concert series in our Fireside Theater. So we're really bringing other people into the building, and then we're hoping that when they come to the building, they grab a flyer, and eventually they say, oh, we want to come see a play in the main.
Right, and they come to stay. They actually come to support Chanhassen and all of the theaters and all of what you offer, as well as a great dinner, you know, and some drinks and that sort of thing. So you can have a girls' night out. You can have, you know, you can have so many things there. So when you're looking at where you guys are going, are you looking at changes for the next few years? Are you sitting down saying, okay, we're celebrating our 50th, but now what?
I think we're always thinking about what might be next. But everything right now is working extremely well. So, you know, I manage the concert series and book that. And, you know, we're trying to, every year I try to bring in some new acts, but there are some that have developed really wide followings. So I try and, you know, bring back the things that are very popular and then add in some new things the next year just to keep it interesting. You know, Stevie Ray's has been successful for 5 years at Chanhassen, and I think that's going to stay. And then we're just going to continue to play around with our titles in the main and keeping it fresh and then, you know, continue to mix in some classic titles.
It's impressive what you guys have done. And I don't know how you find the time to do all that you do. I mean, co-producing the gala, choreographer, one of the owners, managing partner of the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, and so much more. But God bless you,
Carolyn,
for doing it all.
We do it with joy. We do it with joy.
There
that's
you go. If people want to come tomorrow night, where do they go for tickets?
Just call our box office, 952-925-1000, and they should be able to order tickets over the phone.
952-925-1000. Can they get tickets online?
I believe they can get tickets. www.chanhassendt.com. And if there's you know, if there are seating, if it's starting to sell out, it might direct you to the box office, but there should still be availability online.
Well, a lot of us like to do it the old-fashioned way at the box office. So there you go, Tamara. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and tell Michael and it's all the whole everyone over there, I said hello, and thank you so much for supporting us here on Center Stage.
I will, and thank you, Gerilyn, always for your support as well.
Thank you. That is Tamara Kangas Erickson, and again, they are celebrating tomorrow night for this 50 years. I mean, 50-year anniversary is what they are celebrating in a gala tomorrow night. If you want more information, all you have to do is go to Chan Hassen Dinner Theaters or ChanHassenDT.com, or you can call the box office at 952-925-1000. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to hopefully have Rohan Preston, lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, join us in just a moment. It is now 7:22 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And Rohan Preston, lead theater critic over at the Star Tribune, is joining us because he wants to talk about a show called A Korean Drama Addict's Guide to Losing Her Virginity. I think that's the name of it. It sickens me, but I had to say it. How are you, darling?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine. That had to be a Fringe Festival thing, right?
It actually isn't.
It isn't.
It's a show by Mei Li Yang, who is a Hmong American playwright and writer, is becoming very well known, and she is a risk taker, and it's a romantic comedy.
A romantic comedy. Did I get the title right? A Korean drama?
You did.
So should there be a colon there? A Korean drama, colon, Addict's Guide to Losing Her Virginity?
It's Korean Drama Addict's Guide to Losing Your Virginity. And it's about a young woman who is about to turn 30. And her mom wants her to have a child. Her mom believes that she's destined to become a shaman, a monk, or a healer, I should say.
A healer, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but she is called to do that by 30. And so she's on the cusp of 30, and there's an urgency to having a child and all of this other stuff.
Oh, wow. So that's kind of like 40-year virgin kind of thing. Okay.
It is.
So, you know, that whole thing of, you know, when you are supposed to do it. So was she ordained to do this? Was this her purpose in life, she was told, or was she was just chosen?
She was chosen. Her mom, in fact, is a shaman as well. And so she was kind of chosen for this role. And what's interesting, I mean, so that's part of the plot. And she meets, she's also in her real life, a personality coach. So she meets this guy who's a Korean heir to a fortune. He comes in and from Korea to establish, build a market in Minnesota for his company. And they have cultural conflicts and eventually may or may not get together.
How about that? Oh, look at that cliffhanger. Okay, darling, that'll work. I'll take it. So did you enjoy it?
I certainly did. It's a very funny, very well-written show. And what was interesting about it is I think if there's a drawback, is that it's actually maybe too rich. Can I say that?
Oh, is that possible?
Well, it runs for almost 3 hours.
It's too rich.
and it's like, you know, just stuff just keeps coming. So I think some judicious edits will make it, and so some that becomes indispensable and more easily produced.
Okay, so I just have to ask, was there a bathroom break? Was there an intermission?
Oh, yeah, there was an intermission.
Oh, thank goodness.
After about 90 minutes or so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was an intermission.
All right.
Yeah, there is. And you know, I don't – That's really the only main drawback I see. I mean, it's a romantic comedy. There's lots of cultural references that you get, and some of them that you don't. You know, there are things that you learn. For example, if you open a black umbrella, or if someone hangs a black umbrella in your house, it means that marriage
bad luck.
Is
Oh, marriage.
Well, no, this is different. Marriage is, it means good luck. It means that you're going to get married, you know? So there are all kinds of things like that in the
Hold
in
on
the
a
show.
Minute. Jonathan, make sure I don't hang up a black umbrella. Okay, darling, keep going. Keep going.
There are lots of things like that in this show. And it's really well acted. What's interesting, too, for me is, you know, some of these actors you've seen around, but the lead actor is a young woman who is a rising sophomore, I think her name is. I hope I'm not mispronouncing this. It's Dejing Yang. And she is, so I don't know if she's 20 yet.
Oh, wow.
She does a great job.
How about
she
that?
Does
she's the chosen one. She's the chosen one?
She is, yes. Yeah, she is the young woman who's playing up, you know, she's playing someone 10 years older. Mm-hmm. And she plays opposite Brian Kim, who is a much more established actor, very fine actor. He does a great, great job.
And this is at Park Square, right?
It's at Park Square, a Theater Move production there.
Oh, a Theater Move production. So it's not the new artistic director?
Not yet.
Okay.
He hasn't programmed anything yet. So,
okay.
Yeah. But you know, the playwright, Ming Li Yang, is wonderful because she is someone who sticks a big needle to all any sort of stereotype or bubble that you have. Her past shows have included Confessions of a Lazy Hmong Woman.
Oh, great title.
And then she
Strange
had another show.
Good one.
So 10 Reasons Why I'd Be a Bad Porn Star. You know, so it's you know, she's someone, I love her sense of humor. I love her approach, which is like, let's explode all of this stuff and just have fun and essentially show that, you know, that we're just human beings, you know, like everybody else, and just want to have romance, have fun, you know, make fun of each other. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite scenes is when the couple, the principal couple, they're sort of bonding over which culture, Hmong culture, Korean culture, has the weirdest food. And the Hmong character announcing that, you know, they scroll, basically. And it was it's very, very cute. Because,
cute.
You know, you could argue, you could talk about pig intestines, you could talk about other things and from other cultures.
Pig intestines.
Well.
Call it chitterlings, darling. Chitterlings.
Chitterlings, yes.
Chitterlings. Hey, by the way, I had a chance to go to South Korea and I went into a market, and at the gate of the market was this gigantic cauldron of insects that would just boiling and boiling, and they kept asking me, what? You have some. No, darling. I'd like to keep my hair. I'm not used to these things, you see. But it looked really interesting. I actually got close enough to smell it.
Wow. When, what did it smell like?
I don't want to talk about it, man. I got issues. I have issues. I just want you to know. Rohan Preston, I have to wrap this up, but tell me, the Fringe Festival is over tonight. It's done today.
Yes.
So was it a big success?
I'll find out tomorrow. It seemed that way. You know, lots of the shows that I went to had full or nearly full houses. Lots of people, lots of energy around it. So it was, of course, a reduced number of shows this year, 138 altogether, including the Children's Fringe for the first time, as opposed to closer to 170. You know, so in terms of total box office, it'll be off, I'm sure. In terms of numbers, it'll be off. But I think from the energy that I saw, I can't quantify that or clarify that. But I think it seemed like a success to me.
And the Family Fringe went well?
Yeah, I went to that one show and I thought it was great. So okay. I wish them well, and I'll find out more again.
They'll do that again. Yeah.
Figures tomorrow for us.
All right, I'm looking forward to reading this. So that'll be in the article in the Star Tribune.
It will be in the Star Tribune. It'll probably be in hopefully by Tuesday or Wednesday. We're not sure when we're getting the final numbers because they're tabulating all of that.
Yeah, really, they made a lot of changes this year, and I think they were well needed changes because I think they needed some place for families and grandparents to go. They had a lot of shows, and I still don't understand how the lottery works because some of the same people keep coming back with new shows. I don't get that.
Well, I think I do. I mean, I think they enter a lot. They enter often.
Oh, you can enter as much as you want?
I don't know.
You're killing me.
Like some, you know, I'll find out. But okay. I know that Shannon Custer, she was involved in five projects this year, and basically she's, you know, the queen of the fringe, and
right.
she was tapped by other people who won places, you know, so lots of people are entering, and obviously some people didn't get in as well. So
yeah.
I'll have to find that out because then I could, you know, enter five times and maybe you and I could put a show together.
Oh, you know what? That would be great if you would wear like some, oh no, don't let me go there.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what it is? You know, since theater critics are so beloved, we can have a tomato tossing show, you know, where we supply ripe but not rotten tomatoes. Right.
I so liked you about 20 seconds ago. I'm not quite sure what that is. Rohan Preston, we adore you here, darling. We really do. And if people want more information, all they have to do is go StarTribune.com/Rohan Preston. What a pleasure.
It's a joy. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. He makes me laugh. We got to take a break and pay some bills. We'll be back in a moment.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America.
Okay. Oh, come on. You know this. You know what that music is, right? Of course, it's Leonard Bernstein. And there's a big show coming called Dear Lenny, Bernstein's Life and Songs and Letters. It's the first time that they're doing this over at the Open Eye Theater. And I'm excited to introduce to you Diana Grisilli. If you don't know who she is, honey, just ask somebody. How are you?
Oh, hi, Geraldine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you. How long have you been singing?
Oh, I guess since I was born.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
How it is. You too, I'm sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You just come out doing it.
Yeah.
Out of all the things that you've done, and you've done a lot, is this one of your favorites?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Tell me why. Why does his music speak to you?
Oh, well, you know, he was a prodigious young composer, and he was voracious about mm-hmm. music since he was a little tiny, tiny boy. And he didn't have a whole lot of emotional support for it. His father was not thrilled about him becoming a musician, but he was so passionate about it that by the time he was about 6 years old, he was moving from one piano teacher to the next. He kept going through them because he kept surpassing them.
How about that? Right? So he knew exactly what he wanted to do.
It was
early
on. It was in his soul, in his heart, in his body. Yeah. Sure.
You know, they say that he has a commitment to music, love, and the artists as progressive social activists, that he
yes.
was really involved
yes.
in the social issues of the day. They were terribly different back, you know, he died in, what, 1990, I think, or 92, something
yep,
like that.
Indeed.
So I can imagine that when he was really fighting for these things, it was a difficult time in our nation.
It was a difficult time, but oddly enough, there are quite a few things that he was fighting for that we are still fighting for today.
Wow.
And, you know, he was involved in having his wife and he hosted an event for the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. No kidding.
Got him in a
out
lot of trouble.
Out of their home or what? In their home?
In their home.
Oh,
my Park
goodness.
Avenue home in New York City. Got him in a lot of trouble. He always thought of his music as a way of making the world a better place.
A little healing.
He always mm-hmm. approached it from that. He wanted the world to be better. And it was through his art that he wanted to achieve that. He was passionate about it. He was passionate about music. He was passionate about every kind of art. He was passionate about writing. So one of the reasons that we've focused our show on Bernstein's life in songs and letters is because he was an avid letter writer, an avid writer in general, and he loved words almost as much as he loved music.
How about that? Uh-huh. And I'm glad to hear it because it's the most important piece of the music when it's sung.
When it's sung.
When it's sung. It
That's
really
exactly
is so important.
Right. Yes.
Let's talk about how in the world were you... Do you pick from his collection? I mean, his book is huge.
Oh, my goodness. That is such a good question. Well, it's something that we come up against every year because every year we create a new show. And most of the artists that we've covered have vast catalogs. And we, first of all, listen to everything we can listen to. Hundreds and hundreds of things, and we decide which ones we love, mm-hmm. which ones we think we as individuals could achieve, which ones might challenge us a little bit more, which would be supporting a particular angle that we're wanting to bring to the world about the artist,
mm-hmm.
Which can move into dialogue, things like that. So it's a multi-facet kind of.
How do you know
choice.
Then if a song is complicated? Do you listen all the way through? Do you get like a quarter of the way through and went no, we're not touching that one?
You know, perhaps at some point that does happen, but you know, and everybody has different tastes and things, right? And yeah, it does depend on whether. The song is going to bring to life what it is we want to bring to life.
Right. And if Dan Chouinard and Prudence Johnson are involved in this, I can imagine that there are some obscure pieces that Leonard Bernstein did that many people may not be familiar with. Are you having a few of those?
We are, in fact.
Of course you are.
We are. But, you know, we are, you know, as obscure as we could get, you know, mm-hmm. as avant as we could get with his work, we are really wanting it to be something that's going to resonate with people.
Right.
So we're looking for resonance all the time. And we do push that envelope a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
We have to with these wonderful artists.
So, of course, you're going to do the Masterpieces of Broadway, which probably most people know and love, right?
Yes.
But what are some of the things from television, from the silver screen that you might perform? Give me a couple of options.
From television.
Or from film.
Yeah, he really only did one really notable film on the waterfront. And I'm not sure whether we're actually representing that. We're representing some of his, we're doing a clarinet sonata, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some underscoring places that are just sort of instrumental under text and things. He did these things called anniversaries, which were gifts to his beloved people in his life. And of course, his beloved people were kind of some of the best well-known artists on the planet. And we'll be doing some of those. One of his closest, dearest friends was Aaron Copland. So there are allusions to him.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So you're opening on the 16th, I believe?
We are opening on the 16th.
Beautiful.
We're closing on the 26th. On the 25th, which is a Saturday night, we're having a big sort of birthday soiree for Leonard Bernstein because the 25th is his actual birthday.
And it's how many years?
100 years.
100
it's
years.
His centenary this year. And that's mm-hmm. why you see so much Bernstein going on around the world.
Yeah.
Candide's being done everywhere and West Side Story. And if you haven't seen the West Side Story at the Guthrie, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
It is beautiful.
The choreography. I have not seen it. And it closes on the 26th, same night that you close.
It is a must-see. It is absolutely gorgeously done.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are talking about him this year because it is his 100th birthday.
Yes.
And you'll see a lot of Leonard Bernstein. And I'm hoping, is it Bernstein or Steen?
It's Bernstein. Mr. Bernstein was a very, very proud Jew. And he always pronounced his, always corrected the pronunciation of his name to Stein.
Stein. Thank you for reminding me of that because I wasn't quite sure. I think I introduced it as Bernstein and I heard you say Stein.
It's Bernstein,
yeah.
But that's a normal mistake.
Well, this again is happening August 16th through the 26th. Tickets still available, by the
tickets
way?
Tickets are still available. The party, the soiree on the 25th is getting close to sold out. So grab those tickets and that's going to be well worth it. We're going to have cocktails before the show and champagne and cake afterwards. We're going to toast Lenny, dear Lenny.
And it's general admission, by the way. It's $26.
Yes.
Limit of, there's a limited number of $10 economic accessibility tickets. So you can just come on down to the theater. Open Eye Theater is where this is all happening. Can you give us the address of that?
I believe it's 506 East 24th Street.
Well, I know the box office is 612-874-6338. You can go to box office at Open Eye Theater with a T-R-E at the end, .org. Again, that's box office at openeyetheater.org. And again, box office number 612-874-6338. And if I were to look down far enough to see the address, here it is, 506 East 24th Street.
It's right.
Yay. Yeah.
And there is a Pay as Able feature as well. So don't let the financial aspect of it thwart you. Come down.
Well,
you
got
show.
Some great voices in this, so congratulations
yes.
to you.
Yes. Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
It's great to see you. I hope you resurrect this again.
Oh, we plan to.
Yeah. Are you going to, is there talk of taking it on tour?
We will. We have already some offers in the works.
How about that?
Yeah, because it's, we're building a little bit of a reputation because this is our fifth show that we've created. We did Jacques Brel before. We did Brecht and Weill. We did a show about 1966, which was a seminal year in the history of the world.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying 1968 was the greatest year, but you say 1966.
Well, it was a kind of a famous year. Was that the Summer of Love? Was that 68?
I don't know if they call it the Summer of Love, but all I remember are assassinations. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
It was difficult.
Right.
Very difficult for our nation.
So, and we've chosen to focus on Leonard's life as a social activist, as you mentioned, because he was very, very passionate about so many things. And he was one of the first people to really question the fact that there weren't enough blacks. There weren't any blacks in the New York Symphony, in the New York Philharmonic. And he made a big stink about that, which was very unusual.
And threw a party for the Black Panthers.
He did. He
it's was just amazing. Now I want to read his biography.
Well, there are some beautiful biographies about him. He was also on the FBI list during the McCarthy years.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So was he blackballed?
He didn't actually have to go through the whole thing. He just had to write a very, very, very long letter to them.
That was a difficult time.
It was very hard.
Diana, it's a pleasure to see you.
Thank
and good
you.
To have you in studio.
Yes.
Thank you. And will you
Thank
tell
you,
them all I said hello?
I sure will.
All right.
Love
that
to
is,
you, too.
You, too.
Okay, bye.
That is Diana Grasselli. And you definitely want to go check this show out. OpenEyeTheater.org. Dear Lenny Bernstein's Life in Songs and Letters. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 9:52 here at WCCO. Welcome back. We have our final guest in studio for Center Stage. They are adorable, by the way. It's called the Lauretown Guitar Festival, and in studio to talk about it is Molly Mayer and Mike. Is it Michelle?
It's Michael, but it was Michelle.
No kidding.
It could be both.
Mike, Michelle.
Yeah, originally it was Michelle, but it was switched to Michael.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How come?
Folklore, way back, great grandparents. I think that it was a French name, and to get work, they switched it up.
No kidding. Yeah. So now it's Michael.
Yes.
I have a Michael. My son is Michael.
Awesome.
So that's easy to remember from now on, okay? So the Lauretown Guitar Festival is what's happening. It's the big free festival for guitarists and people who love them. And they've now moved from Lauretown Mears Park to St. Paul's historic Como Park. Right? The Lakeside Pavilion, which is a very cool spot.
Yeah. Yeah. We, for the last 5 years, we were underwritten by McNally Smith. And when they closed, we just decided to regroup. And I've been running the stage over at the Spring Cafe at the historic
which
Como
is so
Lakeside
cool.
Pavilion.
So
Thank
cool.
you.
Great place.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I figured, well, since I'm there, let's put something together and be there for this year and then see where we go from there. But I wanted to keep the name Lauretown Guitar Fest and obviously keep it in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really weird whenever you run into some change that you have to make. It's not like you want to make it, but you have to make it. Sometimes it works out for the best, doesn't it?
I believe so. It's the scariest thing, but you're right.
Thing.
It always works out.
Because you're so used to it, you know, going a certain way. Okay, so tell me what the festival is offering this year.
It's still free, which is great. We'll have three stages. We also are offering a kind of a fun deal here, and this will be for money if you want to do it, but think Venice. Venice,
oh,
Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
So Como Lakeside
Gondolas.
Pavilion is on the lake.
Gondolas.
There's canoes. Yes.
Gondolas.
Gandhi, exactly. But we're going to call them canoodellas.
Canoodellas.
And so you can take an artist out.
That's so Minnesota,
I will,
by the way,
personally paddle that canoe around with your artist of choice, and they'll play for you.
How about that? How sweet is that?
Well, we hope it'll be very sweet, and we'll hope that the weather will hold up for that.
That's really romantic, though, darling.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Now, this is a one-day festival only. What day is it?
It is. It's on Saturday, August 18th, and it's from... The music will be from 2 until 9 o'clock, and we think that Greg Koch, who is our spirit animal of the festival, will be doing a master class, and we're still waiting for confirm on that.
When you talk about master classes, mm-hmm. people show up from far and wide trying to get to study under that person.
Absolutely.
You can add it to your resume and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So you get to come out and really learn.
Yeah. And Greg just is putting out two new books. And so he's offering, if in fact we do pull the trigger on that class, you'll get two copies of the book signed by him and then a 2-hour class with him. And that will be for money, and we'll have more information on that.
Okay. So how many guitarists will there be that's involved in the festival this year?
This year, we have about a dozen players.
Awesome.
We have mainly local players, but we have two people coming in. One is a woman named Sunny War. She's our headliner, if you will. She's from Los Angeles, plays traditional style blues. She's a little punk rock, but beautiful, beautiful musician. And then we have a woman, Irita Noriega, coming from Mexico City. Todd Clouser will be backing her, and she'll be doing a lot of Latin songs. And she might even play a little bit, too.
How about that? By the way, you know, when it comes to punk rock and blues, it kind of works.
Absolutely. That's so true. Yeah.
You know, you're kind of ticked off in both.
Uh-huh.
So it's okay. It's okay, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited that you guys are going to continue, even though McNally went under,
mm-hmm.
and that was your biggest supporter, but you will have more. And if people want to, do you need volunteers or anything?
We would love volunteers. We would love volunteers to come hang out. Just you can hang with the artists. We'll also be having a silent auction for a couple of guitars. We might even raffle off a guitar, a pedal. We want volunteers to come and listen to the music.
And do you have your guitar with you, Michael?
I do.
Can you play a little something?
I didn't know if I was going to play or not.
Would you please play something for us?
How long should I play?
Just about 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right.
This is called Magic Trick.
Magic? My son is a magician. Awesome. That's mysterious, just like a magician.
Uh-huh.
It really is. Did you write that?
I did. There's vocals to it, but that was a little introduction.
No. Sing some vocals. Oh, come on. Give me 30 seconds with the vocals.
Look, I think you found a friend, but was the evidence I have acquiesced? My luck, you're feeding on my mind. I am a sensitive. I'm a higher risk. Who allowed you in? A magic trick. Oof, I wish you split. Like a magic trick.
That's baby making music. I hear the
children. I'm
going
to quote you on that.
Do I hear children coming?
They got you.
That was great.
Thanks.
But
I
want
to go with the Latin flavor because of our guest star coming from Mexico City.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That was very cool, man. Have you recorded that yet?
It is recorded. It's on a record called On the Men, which was put out by a local publisher called Think Piece.
Yeah.
And it was actually, if I may, it was dedicated to a lot of people, a lot of musicians who have auditory conditions.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to raise awareness for invisible brain conditions for musicians.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, the Lower Town Guitar Festival, it is happening one day. It's free for all. It is happening on?
Saturday, August 18th.
You do not want to miss it. If you want more information?
Check us out on Facebook. That's where we are right now.
All right. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
The Mom and Michael Hour is next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.